Welcome to our workshop that is entitled Power. Interesting. Whose power, you might wonder? Let's begin with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. My name's Linda Ray, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Linda Ray.
And I've asked some of my friends in the program to do some readings, and we'll start on my right with Bev.
I just had to do that. Hi, everybody. My name's Bev. I'm a compulsive overeater. And here is our unity with diversity statement. As we extend the heart and hand of fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any compulsive eaters here besides myself? Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
Hi, my name's Annie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm bulimic. This is our anonymity statement. Anonymity, like our abstinence, is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing the press or broadcast media, in protecting the anonymity of all members present or mentioned here today. We hope you hear something at this meeting which you can hear, use, and take away. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous and that no unauthorized photos be taken. The session is being taped and will not be edited. To be anonymous, you should use a fictitious name. If you come up to the microphone to speak at any time during the weekend, in the session that is being recorded, please sign a release form located at the registration table. Two Hatters, OA members affiliated with a related facility or other anonymous program, are requested to speak only to their personal recovery as an OA member at OA functions to avoid implying endorsement of an outside enterprise. Thank you.
And before we have our reading from for today, there is a statement on crosstalk, which Carrie will read for us, but she is being detained, so we'll have her read that before the sharing time.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Eileen. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Eileen.
Okay, this is the for today, September 4th. The present time has one advantage over every other. It is our own. Is this the correct one you want to read? Okay. I have all the wealth in the world right now, in this moment, when I can live free of anxiety about the future and the pain of the past. There is power in the present moment. It has the strength and substance of reality, not the will-o'-the-wisp of illusion. When I live in the world as it is, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time, I lose all thoughts of plans and blueprints. The present is mine today, and I claim it without hesitation. I open my mind, take leave of worry, and free myself of all that keeps me from enjoying the beauty of the world. For today, nothing that happened yesterday or that may happen tomorrow is more important than now. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you, for being willing to do readings. I do have a picture, which I'm going to pass around. We don't do that too much in OA anymore, but, you know, it helps to see what you look like when you come in. And in my case, this was actually my last relapse. I had been in Colorado for about 2 years and was caring for my mother's with Alzheimer's, which was really a loving and a wonderful time for me. It was not filled with pain. It was filled with a real opportunity to give back. She was my best friend and the love of my life. So I don't know why I began eating, but I did. When I arrived here 9 years ago, I was about 165, and this is at my top weight, which I'd just like to pass around. I can't tell you exactly what that top weight was. I know approximately what it was because for the last year, I refused to go to the doctor. I refused to step on the scales. I didn't want to know. I could see it. I was going to thrift stores to buy more clothes. Everything that I had brought was at a weight that I had been holding for about 4 years. And I thought, oh my God. And that's what happens to us when we go into relapse. I'm not ashamed of it. It's part of my story. It's part of who I am. I wish I was like my first sponsor. I had a sponsor for 15 years in San Diego. Her name was Susan T., and she's gone to be with the Lord. But she was a wonderful sponsor. She came in. She lost 85 pounds. She never gained an ounce back. And she was on a roller coaster ride with me. But, you know, we all take a different path in Overeaters Anonymous. I have a friend who's going to time me, and so I'd like to stick to the topic. And our topic is the power that's available in this program. And I would like to read from the promises on page 84, the one sentence. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. I'm going to read it again. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Now, I know that these promises are located between step 9 and step 10. I get that. But I have to tell you that some of these promises begin happening right away. When I first came into Overeaters Anonymous and got the food plan, which was the gray sheet at that time, and got a sponsor and started going to my one meeting a week, things started happening within me. I was excited. I had hope. I thought, oh my God, it's possible this might actually work for me. Because I was a person who was never able to lose 10 pounds. I remember being a freshman in high school, and there were beauty pageants going around. And I can remember my history teacher saying to me, Linda Ray, I just know you could lose about 50 pounds. And if you did, with your voice, you could go into this, you could go into the Miss America pageant. I know you could do it. It started with a little ho-dunk county called Imperial County in Southern California. So his dreams were big. And I remember looking at him and saying, Mr. Kretz, you have absolutely no idea who I am. And that's all I said. I smiled at him and I said, but thank you. And I turned around and walked away. Because there's no way that somebody that's 185 or 190 in high school and who's me could ever be 125. It was completely out of the question. It was not a possibility. I will tell you that my lowest weight in OA is 118, and that I had a sponsor at that time that said, sweetheart, you have no more breasts. You have no more calves on your legs. You need to put on about 6 or 7 pounds. And if you're not willing to do that with my guidance, I will no longer sponsor you. And I was on that gray sheet high, and I thought, I have the power. And it was wonderful. And I wanted to get down to 112. Okay, well, fast forward. Here I am, 67 years old. I think I was about 25 at the time. And I did what she said, because I learned in this program that I don't really have the power. I just think I have the power. So let's talk about power for a minute. I think we all want power to be in a normal body. We all want power to be healthy. We'd all like to have the power to live a longer life and to not be infirmed, but to be agile and be able to move around. I think we'd all like to have the power to have a stronger faith in our higher power. We'd all like to have power to just over our own lives, to have the power over our own lives. But what I've learned from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and what I've learned, if I've learned anything in 40 years of program, it's that I have no power. I am completely and utterly powerless. Now, I'll just speak about myself. I wouldn't dare to talk about you. But I came in thinking, if only I could get the power to do whatever you all were doing, I could be happy and free. And what I've realized is there's only one who has power, and may you come to know him now. The one who has power, the God of my understanding, has, in fact, I walked up to one of our speakers. Are you here? She may be here in the room, but I can't see your face at the moment. I walked up to her this morning and I said, "Who is your God?" And she said, and I said, "Well, I just want to know, who is your God?" And she said, "Well, He's everything. He's my everything. He's my all in all." And I thought, what a great way to say who your God is. Today, the only one who has power to help me not only return to a normal size, but to have sanity in my life is God. The God of my understanding. Now, granted, the God of my understanding is not necessarily the God of your understanding. And I've actually asked several people this weekend, who is the God of your understanding? Because I think it's fascinating. I think we should know each other better. I think we should open our minds. Even though I know who my God is, I would like to know who you believe God is to you. And I think there's an unknown God out there that really none of us know all about. And I think if we can open our hearts and open our eyes and ask ourselves, or maybe just ask the universe at large, God, will you manifest yourself to me? Will you show me who you are? Will you show me how you want me to live my life? Will you teach me the things that I need to learn? Because I don't know about you, but I'm a know-it-all. Anybody else in here a know-it-all? Oh, gee, only 5 of you. No, okay. Okay, maybe more like 45 of you. Okay. I need to constantly be seeking my higher power and saying, so here's the deal. I have to give up everything in order to have abstinence. I don't just have to give up the foods I don't want to eat. I have to give up resentments. I have to give up my plan for my life. I have to give up my spouse to my higher power. I have to give up my sister, who I'm having a very difficult time with, to my higher power. I have to ask how to love certain people in my life. I have to ask, where do you want me to go today? And this sounds trite, but I mean it. When I get up in the morning, okay, my plan is an exercise class at 8 o'clock, maybe stay for yoga at 9:30. I'm coming home and I have some shopping to do, and I may have an Al-Anon or an OA meeting this afternoon. And so, Lord, you got a little bit of time left. What do you want to do with it? You know, that's my way of thinking. Rather than that, what I need to say is, will you please show me what your plan is for me today? And when I'm willing to listen, and when I'm willing to change my plans, my day, it can be a dance instead of a routine. It can be a dance. It can be filled with life, filled with possibilities. I have started sponsoring more people than I've ever sponsored before, because that little, small, still, quiet voice within me said, why are you not sponsoring more people? And I said, well, you know, I'm sponsoring this one in this program and that one in that program, and I'm thinking about sponsoring this third lady, and I'm hearing, why do you not say that you're available to sponsor? So I'm now sponsoring 3 ladies in OA, which honestly, I hope I don't hear that voice anytime soon, because I think that's all I can handle. And I'm sponsoring a lady in Al-Anon, and then I have a sponsor that I meet with every week. But I'm telling you, be willing to listen and be willing to reach out, because this last lady that I took to sponsor is someone I don't particularly like. I see her at a meeting every week, and there's something about her, I just don't know what it is, that I just have not particularly liked. And she's began calling me in the evenings. She calls me 4 evenings a week and 3 mornings a week. That's how her schedule and mine work together. And I am falling in love with this woman. I mean, boy, my preconceived ideas about her were completely wrong. And how many times do we do that? But by hearing that small voice begrudgingly saying yes when she asked me, and working out a schedule that would work for her. She wanted to call 7 days a week. I don't normally sponsor that way. It's, if you would like to call me, call me. But I'm willing to work with her, and I'm learning to be flexible. I'm learning to care more about her schedule than my own. I'm willing to change some things around to make that happen, and that's because my higher power asked me a simple question. Why aren't you available to sponsor more? So I think that if we believe that God has all the power and that we truly can take step one and say, I'm powerless, not just over the food or alcohol or whatever your addiction might be, but I'm powerless. I just don't have the power to get well, to get healthy, to become sane. If you can truly say that, then we better start looking for the one who has all power. We better start a deep search. I came into OA and I was deeply searching for the right sponsor. I was deeply searching for the right food plan. I was deeply searching for those two or three people that my sponsor told me to call during the week. But you know what? It's taken a long time for me to realize I need to deeply search for a better relationship and a closer relationship and a more personal relationship to my higher power, because there is the power. And it's a power source that I desperately need. So what I'd like to say is that I'm an early morning person. I get up early in the morning. Marcia, I'm still watching for your hand. We're okay on time? Okay, thank you. We have our own schedules, right? But there should be a time for prayer and meditation. And to me, prayer is reading another big book that I read in the mornings that's very important to me. And then meditation is me, I may ask a question or two of my higher power, but I sit and listen. And I need to be alone. Now, this may not be what works for you, but I need to be alone in a private place. And for my family situation, where we have four adults in the same household, I have to get up before they do. It's the only way it works. It's the only private time that I have. So I'm up early in the morning at O'Dark 30. That's kind of my rhythm anyway. And I have my reading time. I have a couple of devotions that I read every morning that are 12-step program literature. And then I have what I call my meditation time. And that is usually to sit. I'm staring out the window. I live in Idaho Springs, so I have a gorgeous view. Mountains. One mountain has got snow on it almost entirely the year. It's just now almost gone. And I can sit there and I can ask, please speak to me. Please tell me what it is that I need to hear. And sometimes I say, please tell me that you love me. I need to hear that this morning. And then I listen and I'm quiet. And sometimes my mind might wander, but if it does, I bring it back and I say, I'm here just to be in your presence. I heard something at a retreat and I remember the lady's face. I remember what the room looked like, but I don't know where I was. Don't know what city I was in. It was OA. And she said to me, I have a new name for higher power, for HP. She said, I call higher power Holy Presence. And I've never forgotten that. It was a room with maybe 15 people beside myself, a great big, you know, conglomerate where you had to choose between four or five rooms to go to. And I was in a small room and I still see the woman's face. She said, I invite Holy Presence into my life every single day. And she said, now, I don't know all about who Holy Presence is exactly, but I invite him into my life and I say, please manifest yourself to me. Let me grow in you. Let me know who you are. Let me have my living, my life, my being, and my breath in you. And I've never forgotten it. In fact, when I go from one journal to the next journal, which I keep a journal about 2 months, and then it's full and crammed with stuff, and I have to go to the next one. And by the way, if you're a journaler, I sew mine in little tapestry pockets. I make a little pillowcase the size of my journal, and I sew it shut at the top. Because I have people in my family who might love to know what I do when I'm writing and writing and writing, and I am a journaler. And I just don't want them to know. It's between me, myself, and I. And when I have resentments, I'm writing those down. And frankly, I don't want my family members to see what those resentments are. That they're my problem. They're between me and my higher power. I am getting help to work through them. And I don't really want you to know or you to know if I was resentful toward you yesterday. So if you have a journal and you really do some serious writing, I suggest that you keep it between yourself and your higher power and zip it. Or hide it, or put it away somewhere. I used to think I wanted my journal to be there for all of posterity so that my grandchildren could read it someday. Well, now I'm writing, I do not want to babysit those grandkids on Monday. I have better things to do. My time is important. This is a selfish program. I need to do it for myself. You know, I don't want my kids or my grandkids to read that stuff. So my journaling is real, like my living is real. I guess the last thing that I would like to say, and that is that I'd like to read one more reading from the For Today. I just love this little devotional book. And Eileen and I switched, which is great. It means I'm supposed to read this one. Eileen, did you read September? Yes, okay, I'm going to read October 4th, because I was intending to read them both this morning. October 4th, in the For Today. Not to go back is somewhat to advance. Now keep in mind my relapse and recovery history. And men must walk at least before they dance. Nothing in nature grows at the speed human anxiety would wish it to grow. It takes time to halt or retreat, more time again to overcome inertia, and begin to take a new direction. I cannot expect the difficulties in my life to be erased because I wish it. I'm going to say that again. I have so much problem with this sentence. I cannot expect the difficulties in my life to be erased because I wish it. I'm learning to walk one step at a time, and I look forward to dancing. You need to know that, thank you, Marcia. You need to know that in 2004, I fell out of a very high tree. I lived on one of those decorating Christmas circle places in San Diego, and I fell out of a very high tree. The ladder was gone when I went to step down on it, and I went down about 30 feet, and I landed on my foot. So not only was a bone exposed outside of my ankle, but my foot was backwards, and I was laying on it. And as they took me into the ambulance to Balboa Hospital, which is a military hospital in San Diego, I was in shock, so I couldn't feel any pain at all. And the gentleman that was taking care of me, the nurse, said, "She'll never walk again." And I heard him. I may have been in shock, but I wasn't deaf. I could hear. And I'm sure he didn't intend for me to hear. And I turned around and looked at him, and I said, "Excuse me, but you don't know my God. I'll not only walk, but I'm going to dance." And he said, "Yes, ma'am. She's in shock. She's in shock." But at that moment, I was as sane as I can be. Now, I would like to suggest a topic for the sharing, and then I would really like to hear what you have to say. I know we could all get up here and talk about how great God is and all he's done for you that you couldn't do for yourself, but I want to leave you with two thoughts. The first is, suddenly, God can do for you what you could not do for yourself means you can't do it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough to do it. You can't go to enough meetings to do it. You can't find the right sponsor and do it. You can't find the perfect food. You can't do it. But your higher power suddenly can do for you what you could not do for yourself. So my question to you and my suggestion, it's only a suggestion for sharing, I would like to know, what is it that you can't do? What is it that you've come to the end of your rope and you realize, I can't do this? I shared before, about a year ago, it was my marriage. And after working with a sponsor and working, I mean, I have worked and worked and worked. And I have come to the conclusion that my husband, he's still the man I'm in love with after 47 years of marriage. I love him dearly. He's a good provider. He's very handsome. If you saw him at breakfast this morning, he's just as handsome at 68 as he was at 20 when I met him. And he is a wonderful provider. He is probably the best father I have ever known. And coming from my background, I needed a good father for my children because I wanted six. I didn't get them. I got two. But I wanted six, and I wanted a good father for my children. He is faithful. A military career for 25 years and a law enforcement career for 20 years. He has been faithful to me, always. At my top weight, at my bottom weight, and everywhere in between. He has never strayed. You know, when you have a man like that, and I must have been crazy to think that, oh, it might all be over. What I needed was this program to show me my part. So that was my thing that I could not manage. I could not do on my own. I had to have help. I'm wondering what at this point in your life, and I know it's a vulnerable question to ask, what at this point in your life do you have absolutely no control over? Because if you can admit that, that's step one. If you can believe that your higher power even may be able to help you, that's step two. And step three is making a decision to turn your will and your life over. Now, I turn my life over to God every day, no problem. I have a huge problem turning over my will. Anybody else in here have a problem with self-will? Oh, thank you. So what is it in your life that is completely unmanageable that you cannot do alone and that you need help with? That's what I'd like to hear. Who'd like to share? And I will be timing you. I'll kind of wave my hand around just like I asked Marcia to do with me after 3 minutes. So please, come on up like popcorn. If you're comfortable, line up. That way you can come up and do it quickly. Who'd like to be first? Nobody wants to talk about paralysis. Yes, Carrie in the back. Thank you. And Carrie, I have a reading for you to read about crosstalk.
Would you go ahead and read this first before you share? Thank you.
I have a job to do first. Oh, that sounds funny. I'm Lori, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. Okay, crosstalk statement. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. Crosstalk during an OA meeting is giving advice to others who have already shared, speaking directly to another person rather than to the group, and questioning or interrupting the person speaking or sharing at the time. Okay, now for my share. All right, what was the question? What am I powerless over? What is it that I cannot do? Well, At times I am aware that I am powerless over everything and I can't make myself do anything. But there are other times when I feel just the opposite, that, well, I'm in control of everything and I can do anything. And so anyway, today I am struggling with my husband was a partner in his company job, and very small percent owner, but an owner nonetheless. And in August, they decided to close because things were not going the way they should have. And on the one hand, I was thrilled because for the last, I won't say, he's been there 5.5 years. And in the last at least 3 years, I've been saying, please stop. Please get out of this company. You know, find a real job, which I shouldn't say to him. But anyway, so when they decided to close, part of me was celebrating. Yay, we finally get to move on. However, now that reality has set in and he doesn't have a job yet, I'm really struggling because I want him to go get the real job in my mind, the very high paying, you know, only 40 hours a week so you can still contribute at home kind of thing. And that's not reality. And so I am powerless over that. And of course, he has his ideas of what he wants to do. He wants to do contract work instead of the 9-to-5 job. And I am powerless over that. I cannot cause him to get a job. I can't make him want to do it my way. And so I'm working on letting go of that. And I don't want to eat over it. I want peace and serenity over it. I don't want to be a crazy person, which I have been a lot lately. And so that was the timing of this, of course, is perfect. And it was very good for me to come and get all this whatever you call it, good juju, good recovery and hugs and everything that I needed. And so thank you all for being here. You are my family. And it was also good to get away from him for the weekend. I'm sure he was like, thank you. I know he was. So maybe when I go home, I can be a more peaceful, loving person to him. So thank you for being here.
An angel card up here and it says peace. I need this. Thank you. I'm Carrie, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. I really did not want to come up here. This question scares the hell out of me to say. I have no power at all over my sister-in-law's perception of me. Not one teeny ounce do I have any power over that. And it makes me feel really out of control, and it makes me feel really erratic, and I just want to just strangle her. I can't connect with her. And it so baffles my mind because, oh, there's that, if I'm pointing the finger at her, there's three pointing back at me. And what is it about her that I see that is so annoying? That must be my character defect. It has to be something about me that I want to embrace. I want God to take this. I really am praying that God will intervene. I haven't seen her or spoken to her in 8 months. And I put a photograph of her on my altar. My spiritual teacher said, you try this, and it has helped diminish some of my anxiety that I have just seeing her photograph. And I'm like, ah. And even the question of coming up here, it was like, I do not want to answer that question. It's just prickles. So God puts these instances in our lives for a reason. And so I'm trying very hard to just let go of the feelings that I have, the emotions that I have, and let God take over and be very grateful. I'm super grateful to be with all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, you guys.
Hi, I'm Christy, compulsive overeater. I have recently discovered that I'm powerless over my brain, my crazy brain. And my first thought is always, well, I've been doing this wrong. But I had to start with, I'm powerless over food, I'm powerless over people, places, and things, and that layer and that learning of the external. And now to think about the steps, I'm powerless over my thoughts, my compulsive thoughts, the chatter, the monkey mind, and that I have just recently started, my prayers and meditation are around this. You know, I ask my higher power, I recognize that my higher power can relieve me. Well, this is where my insanity is anyway. It's all in here. It's that mental defect, that mental break that I'm trying to remember what the big book calls it anyway. That's me in here, crazy. And so if I turn my will and my life over in every day, turning over that, you know, give me peace of mind and let my mind be calm and let my mind be open. And earlier when we were talking about self-seeking, and I had written that when my ego mind is going, it crowds out the conscious contact. And so I have to turn over my ego and my brain to my higher power, because I am powerless over this clump of cells that I'm carrying around all day that tries to run the show. Thanks, I'll pass.
Oh, come on. Who doesn't want to share their deepest, darkest secrets? I don't want to at all.
Can't do it in 3 minutes.
No, but you can try.
Just scares the shit out of me, just so you know. My name's Carol. I'm a compulsive overeater. And an addict and an alcoholic. And what I'm powerless over is relationships. I've started a new relationship and I'm so powerless over it, how I behave and how I try to control and how I don't listen to what my higher power is telling me to do in this relationship. I'm an addict and I'm addicted to people. as well. And I want to do things and give up myself in a relationship. And my higher power is telling me not to. And I've had enough recovery now where I know enough to listen to my higher power in this respect, but I'm fighting it, and I'm just totally powerless over everything about it. And I need, just saying it is part of the step into listening to my higher power. And I just want to do it right. The last relationship I was in, I was also in recovery, but I didn't do it right. I didn't say me, and I didn't take care of myself. And now I want to. And I need the help of these rooms. I need the help of higher power and my sponsor and my other friends. So this is, I'm asking my higher power now, and I'm asking for all your support as well. Give me good thoughts and good juju. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Virginia, compulsive overeater, alcoholic and addict. I have to say alcoholic and addict because I am a sober one, but I am an alcoholic and an addict. And I am trying to recover with my drug of choice right now, which is food. I moved here about 2.5 years ago, and I was in a 14-year-old marriage, and I don't talk about this kind of stuff, really. I will mention it, everyone. After finding out that he was unfaithful to me for almost the whole time I was with him, and I spent a lot of money on him and trying to make him happy, and just getting out of, just forgetting who I was, and I have never really learned who I am. I'm really trying really hard, and I just seem like I'm being stuck. You know, I question, am I in the right program? I question, am I in the right place? I've moved in my whole life, and I am not lying. I have two children that can tell you where they lived. We 16 times when they were young kids. I mean, because I always felt that it would be better in the next place. And, you know, my sister, who's got a lot of Al-Anon, would always tell me, you know, it'll come with you. And yeah, right, huh? I mean, you know, a new curtain is going to change something, you know, a new bedspread. And I'm still kind of there. It's like, you know, I'm isolating a whole lot. You know, I work a lot during the week, and I travel a lot, which everyone knows because I talk about it all the time. But I stay home a lot, you know. I work on my house because that keeps me comfort. I mean, you know, and I pray and I meditate and things like that, but I just am so stuck. I can't seem to get past this point of what happened. You know, I'm not angry at him. I'm not resentful with him. I kind of understand because I know disease, I know addiction, and, you know, he's a sexaholic. I don't have a right to call him that. I mean, you know, I don't want to say he, but it was just that, you know, I understood all that stuff and wanted to really try and make it work, and it didn't, so I came here by myself, and I got transferred here. And it's really actually been a really good thing for me because it gave me time to, you know, try and be with my higher power. And I will tell you, my higher power is a place of perfection within inside of myself. And I was a follower of Guru Maharaji a long time ago. I've been looking for love forever. And I've been looking for acceptance and whatever you want to call it for a long time. I've always been reaching out. And I followed this guru for quite a while. And that was one thing I think I brought back, was it was a place of perfection. And I understand that. And I think that sometimes I overdo that by trying to be, to help everybody and forget about Virginia. I call myself Jenny, but I mean, I introduce myself as Virginia. But, you know, I don't know. I love being in these rooms. I like doing what I did this weekend. I'm glad to meet a lot of you. I really, to be honest with you, I haven't met a lot of you. I've walked away from you. You know, that's what I do. I pretend like I'm real cheerful and everything, but I walk away because I don't want you to know me. I don't want you to know me. I don't want you to know that I was abused as a child. And, you know, I think, God, forget that. All I have is right now. You know, I'm not being abused anymore. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not using anymore. I'm eating. And sometimes I eat too much, and sometimes I don't eat at all. So, but I do. And it's funny. So thanks.
I'm Mary Beth, and I'm a recovering food addict.
And I'm a doer. And I always thought if you do it right, you get that result. If you do this, you get that. And I would say to my counselors, well, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Or what does it look like? If I do it, it's all going to be okay. And our Lord God has shown me over and over and over powerlessness. And it's quite a journey. When my husband got cancer, I was like, well, I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm going to go on. I can do this. I've got three kids. They need me. And I went on adrenaline for 6 years. And when he finally died, it was like, where was I in all that? You know? Then my son got alcoholism worse. I was in denial about it, but once he got sicker and sicker after my husband died, I thought, again, just, well, you got to do this. You got to do that. I got to do this. And when he was in the ICU and we thought he was going to die then, I was standing out there powerless, right? And it was beautiful. I was waiting for them to come out to tell me he had died. And the doctor said it didn't go well. And I grabbed the counter ready, and he's 33. And he said, we're going to try again. My son is still alive. He's still very sick. I have no power at all. My two daughters chose a lifestyle that I don't agree with, but who am I? Nobody consulted me. And in my angry phase, I get that way. Nobody asked me. Who am I? The martyr, right? And then my counselor said, I don't think they're getting off that bandwagon anytime soon. So you can choose to be miserable, or you can love, right? Because love's the only answer there. And I get to choose that. And your story yesterday about your dad, you know, just, it's love. It's just, that's all I'm called to do. I'm not called to judge. When I got injured, I've talked about that quite a bit this weekend. It was such not only a devastation, but just such a surprise. Again, tell me what to do and I'll do it. And then it takes a long time to heal. And my therapist, occupational therapist, kept saying, it's kind of like watching grass grow. Your bone is going to heal when it's going to heal. And I again faced that sense of, I can't do anything. So I decided that I was going to get off the grid. That's the answer, right? So I'm going to go live in a remote area. And I'm going to go, I talked to my advisor, my spiritual advisor. I said, I need to go. I just need to go. And he agreed. He said, you go rest. Well, then I went, and I'm there a month now. And I keep telling my friends that I'm going for an extended period of time. I don't have an end time. And I said that I thought that was control, that I somehow can go away from all of this. And it turned out that you can't it's not only that you go away and you face yourself, but you face yourself more deeply, and that there's no running away from anything. Running away was getting busy. Running away was asking what I need to do. And now I'm really in the thrux of life, and I'm powerless over where that journey is going to take me. So thank you.
Well, our 45 minutes is up, and I would like for you, if you're willing, to stay in your seat rather than make a big circle. If you would take the hands to the person next to you, to the right and to the left, and be sure that you know their names. Would you ask them? Don't hesitate. Great. How many times have I come to a woman and really started to really like who she is and not known her name? And then it's hard to say, by the way, what's your name? So let's not hesitate. Let's get to know each other. I would like to close with the third step prayer, which begins, God, I offer myself to thee. And I'd like for you, if you would, just to hold hands, but close your eyes and make this a prayer between yourself and your higher power. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.
You want me to make the announcement?
Sure.
Okay. We wanted to let you know that the recordings are going to be on the internet at, for sure, OA Denver, and hopefully at, I don't know who your tech people is in the north, but so this, everything you heard that was recorded will be available to you. Hopefully in not that long, because he's really good.
Everybody, remember, Wanda's going to speak to us and close the convention, so don't leave yet. I mean, it's not over. Okay. I know some people have to go, that's one thing, but Wanda will be speaking. Thank you.